Told you like that, John. And it is 12:30 here at KPTZ in Port Townsend. I'm Taylor Clark, and it is time for Bureaucracy Now. And I am sitting in this week for Tim Quackenbush, and our guest, as usual, is Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow. Hi, John.
Hey, Taylor, how are you? Great to see you.
It's different sitting here in this seat after, a long break. It's like my heart goes pity-pat. And we are being joined today by a new Port Townsend Police Chief, Thomas Olson. And I want to welcome you, Thomas, to Port Townsend, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Taylor. I appreciate it.
Okay, we'll get the music out of there. Now we can talk. So, well, I don't quite know where to begin, other than to say I'm pleased to be sitting here, and I got briefed on last week. It was there was some heat and light involved in that, but we're gonna do it a little differently today. And as I say, I'm happy to be here. And John, it's really good to talk to you as usual.
Yeah. Well, hey, look, we like heat and light, but we also like truth and justice. So let's go for it. There's nothing off the table. I think it's probably good to get the man himself here, because I couldn't be more enthusiastic and proud of grabbing the talent that we did from the I-5 corridor and getting Chief Olson here with us, whose first real official week is this week. And boy, we did an exhaustive search. We can talk more about the details of what that requires, but man, it is not something that the casual listener would imagine people have to go through.
You don't just wander out and pick the first police officer that is available.
No.
You go through next. And I know because I followed along when you were hiring Steve King, the public works manager, and how much time and energy went into that, interviewing different people, and I assume that that Chief Olson, you've been through some of this too. Did you have a long interview process?
Yeah, it was a number of months and a number of steps through different phone interviews, Zoom interviews, and then full background investigation and polygraph and physical. And so just every aspect of my life since I was 10 was probably turned upside down. And people that I hadn't talked to in years reached out to me and said that they had been contacted as part of the background process. So
it's a little like a security clearance, isn't it?
Yeah, I recently went through a top secret security clearance when I was in the Air Guard, actually about 11 years ago. But I would say almost more extensive than that. At least it felt more invasive than that clearance. So.
Invasive is an interesting word, but presumably we have found out what we need to know. I hope that's the case, and I did want to discuss a little bit, John, the process, but I think it might be fair what you said there, which is it's more extensive than maybe most people understand. Is that a fair characterization?
Yeah, I mean, we put quite a bit of city resource into this, and that's why we were quite deliberate about the hire, because it's, you know, $6,000 or $7,000 of our collective community, you know, ratepayer money to go through the required steps. And, you know, and some of what we do is a little bit above and beyond that. For instance, I think just passed through the legislature only weeks ago, a requirement to do a social media search. That's not something that was required when we went through that process, but it's something we did. And I think speaks to, you know, when you think about law enforcement, public safety, social media, and our national dialogue,
right?
You know, that was a stone we didn't want to leave unturned. And so, you know, Chief Olson went through that full thing, even though we didn't really have to go that far, we chose to.
Yeah, good. Chief Olson, you've been here a week. You've been here a little longer than that, right?
Well, I mean, I've been in and out of the community, making a big move. So I had to bring my family up here. And so we've been in and out, but I've actually been with the city, if you will, for just over a week, but working full time starting this week. I had a few days last week just trying to get through the administrative processes and just getting to meet city employees. And so this week I've been pretty much down here at the police department, getting to know even better the members of the police department and the staff and processes and procedures.
You also interviewed with the members of the police department, some of them, I assume, right? Certainly with acting Troy, Chief Troy Serber.
Yes. One day during the process, I came to the police department and Troy was nice enough to bring me in and introduce me to a number of the staff. And I actually spent about 3 hours that day just here at the police department talking to anybody that I could. There were a number of staff here because they were doing some training in the building. So they actually kind of stopped the training for a little bit and let me introduce myself and talk to a few people. And then anybody that would stop for a minute, including the front office staff, and just ask questions.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are today? Maybe, something about the arc of your career. I know you've most recently been at the University of Washington, but from the casual observer, that's about all I know.
Yeah. So, growing up, a lot of people that go into law enforcement have a passion, or they have a family members, and just a strong desire. And I really don't have anybody in my family that was in law enforcement, but, I thought I was going to be an air traffic controller when I enlisted in the Air Force. And, with that, you got to go to basic training, and then you have to, say you're interested and get recognized and go out and do that. And, about that fourth week of basic training, the only thing I wanted to do is keep my head low and get through it. So I stayed in the kind of the open general category of what jobs or careers. And so the Air Force was nice enough to put me into what's now called security forces. And that's the security and law enforcement side on base. So I went to tech school, and that's what I learned and what I did for 4 years in the Air Force. And I really just got a strong desire for the discipline, the accountability, the sharp uniform, and just setting the example for those around me. Mm-hmm. And, I didn't get all my education done. So I was coming out of 4 years of military, and that's what I really knew. And so I started looking around the nation. And the first department that I tested for, I was hired by, and that was the Washington State Patrol. That was in 1988. I became a trooper cadet and went to the academy in early 89, became a trooper, and I spent 25 and a half years there, 11 as a trooper and 14 as a sergeant. My last assignment with the State Patrol was in Seattle. And I met some police from people from the University of Washington Police Department, and ended up applying for going through a process and being hired as a lieutenant for the University of Washington Police Department, and spent about 7.5 years. In the last 3 or so, I was either in an interim or fully promoted deputy chief role.
So you were running the department there?
Myself, I was part of a
deputy chief. Okay.
Yeah. Part of a 4-person team. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now that you're here, what do you do? I don't know whether to say challenges or interests, or this is a different sort of situation. This is a smaller department in a different kind of community. What are your thoughts on how this is different or the same than what you've done, or what are the challenges that you think you're going to be facing?
Well, I believe that I bring a lot of diversity to the department in my work. I came from a large agency that was very structured and organized, and then I went to the university campus policing, which is quite different than the State Patrol, and really quite different from anything else. But I really learned a lot about the community policing aspect when you look at the type of community that we have, you know, 30 some thousand young adults and students, and they have certain needs. And then we also have our staff and faculty. And so we end up having a community of about 75,000 people. So it's there's quite a lot to do there.
Yeah.
And then you have all the visitors and, you know, the U district that brings its, you know, challenges for us. But I really I learned a lot from both of those different types of policing. This is my first municipal policing opportunity, but I know that I can pull from both of those experiences. And I have no doubt in working with the staff and the team here that that we'll find success. And there's, you know, there's a good solid core of police officers and supervisors here that I'll be working with. And I'm just going to bring my experiences and hopefully they will help me improve, you know, from a very, very good department to a great department. I mean, really, that's my goal in coming here.
Well, the nice thing about Port Townsend, of course, is that it's a small enough town. You actually get to know different police officers. And I've only been here about 8 years. And, you know, I actually count a couple as friends. So there we go. You have some positions to fill, though, John. Didn't we lose our community policing officer recently?
Yeah, we lost our community services officer after a number of years. We've done a kind of a quick emergency hire there to make sure. You know, I'm optimistic for the summertime and for vaccination status and maybe not a full return to normal. But, you know, the reason why some of us really love Port Townsend will start to show even more so. And our community service officers is really integral for how we work out those events and how we work with the public works team. And you're like really front facing. But I think it's, like I said, I think a couple of weeks ago with Tim, you know, just like the navigator is front facing on behavioral health, every officer is front facing for community engagement with businesses, with everyone really. So it's part of the standard requirement for policing in a small town.
Is being good at front facing at
And the team is. Yeah. And that's the cool part.
So will Chief Olson be hiring the new, you said you have an emergency hire. Is it a temporary hire or permanent hire?
Yeah, by our, I won't go into the long list of requirements and policies, but I think you know, the intention is that that's a really important role. And one of the things we heard from the ad hoc committee on public safety and law enforcement was, you know, those front facing community roles aren't necessarily more important, but they're a way that we can actually meet the community's needs and how and what they expect from our police team. And so it would be very extraordinary if we didn't fill that as a permanent role. I think that we are certainly aiming to do that, and that's under Chief Olson's direction there.
I was going to ask about the ad hoc committee, and I thought it was the ad hoc committee. What did you call it? The ad hoc committee on law enforcement and
public safety and law enforcement. Public safety, I think.
Yeah. So you know, I have to admit that I've lost track a little bit. They met monthly for the first year. Yeah. But I'm not clear, and I Chief Olson, you can hold off on this because you're new here. But they met, but I'm not clear on whether they wrapped up and what, if any, were the recommendations and proposed changes or that sort of thing. Can you kind of fill us in on that?
Yeah, I certainly can. But, you know, I have to say one of the attributes that Chief Olson has, both through the recruitment process and clearly before and at his arrival is, you know, he clearly did his homework. And so he'd be listening into the ad hoc committee meetings. He's talked with some of the council members, he's talked to numerous community members. So, you know, he's not kind of navigating blind here by any means. He also knows that, the recommendations from that report, from the full council, from the ad hoc committee was all seven members.
It was
of
a committee of the
council.
Whole. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, every council member thought that this was a critically important conversation to be part of. And those recommendations really say lots of things like the city manager and the police chief will. And there's a number of those things.
You're both on the hook.
Yeah, we really are. And because, I mean, technically they can't task staff. They have to task me to task staff. But the point is, yes, we need to get this done. And I think what I really appreciated, I think, you know, Tom, I think it was even before you we selected you and made an offer, you know, you had kind of concocted a 100-day plan, you know, and this really landed right squarely in that first 100 days of how to take those recommendations forward. So, you know, one of the things, you know, without getting too sidetracked, Taylor, I mean, there's a number of things, you know, reaching out to the school board, you know, pulling forward a public safety citizens advisory board. You know, these are things that Chief Olson was thinking about before they even came out the other end of the ad hoc committee, which I think is serendipitous.
For our radio listeners, I just want to note that that Chief Olson was nodding his head during that part. Yes.
And but one of the things that I'm actually really excited about is I think we're going to notice this out pretty soon is, you know, we wanted a running start. And, you know, we've had some great conversations with our colleagues at the county, the Board of County Commissioners, the sheriff, you know, the prosecuting attorney. And I know that Mayor Sandoval and on behalf of council send out a request to our colleagues and their elected counterparts at the county. Right. To begin some of that conversation around the policy issues that we really need to sync up, and there's great opportunity for us to work together.
Oh, I remember this. They discovered that the city policing policies differed in certain key areas with the county policies, and so different teams acted differently because they were acting according to policy. Is that kind of the summary of that?
That's the general gist. I think also, you know, maybe there's an opportunity here for, you know, what I don't want to speak for everybody listening, but when someone sees an officer, it's not like they discriminate between, is that a sheriff, you know, or right. deputy, is that a police officer for the city? You know, the sheriff and his team are, you know, able to police in this community because we are part of the county. So right. In a way, those boundaries are blurred. And so to me, it's really important that we work together to meet our community's needs. And just have an open channel with those that are also policing, you know, in collaboration. So I'm really excited. I mean, I know, you know, immediately knew that Tom was the kind of person who wants to develop those lasting relationships. I had my regular coffee catch up with Chief Brett Black at the East Jefferson Fire this morning. And, you know, Tom, we haven't had a chance to catch up, but of course we're talking about you and I know you're talking to him. And, you know, that collaboration is going to be something that I know is going to just increase under Chief Olson's command.
You mentioned the 100-day plan, and I feel like I'm in an episode of The West Wing. You know, the president's secret plan to fight inflation. So, Tom, without putting you on the spot, what sort of highlights are do you see in a 100-day plan? Is that a fair question?
Well, I haven't looked at it lately because I've been kind of working within it right now. And really, you know, for me, this first phase of the 100-day plan is really to get to know my staff. Hey, there it is.
There is the 100-day plan. By the way, just let me interrupt for a minute and remind KPTZ listeners that you're listening to Bureaucracy Now. We're meeting with John Morrow and Chief Tom Olson. And you can join us on Zoom, and which no one seems to do. And also, we are accepting email questions at dj@kptz.org. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, and so, you know, the first part of those 100 days is really to do kind of what I like to call a listening tour and just going out and kind of doing what I've been doing before I got here, but even more so with other members of the city staff, with my own staff, with the community, getting around to, you know, this is a tough part, getting around to all the coffee shops and having a cup of coffee and introducing myself
and appearing on KPTZ.
And doing the radio show, and yeah. I got a call from the Peninsula Daily News earlier that I missed, but we'll be connecting up here this week as well, and just introducing myself to the community. And that's at least my first 2 to 3 weeks of that process. And then it's really looking for, and these are things that I've got to talk to John about, is, you know, what are the low-hanging fruit? What can we work on right away in this first 100 days to start making improvements? you know, with COVID and short staff, there, you know, there's morale challenges that we want to look at, and how can we work on those immediately, and then start to, once I really get a feel for what's going on here, then I start looking at interviewing my staff and goal setting and preparing to do something that's really important, and that's to start to build our strategic plan. So that will really start kind of on the outset of the 100 days, but everything that we do between now and then is preparing us to start that process.
Well, I would I'm encouraged by the idea of meeting with the current staff. It's just from a good management standpoint, it's always important to hear what the people who've been on the job for a while have to think, because they might have ideas that, you know, they have not felt that they could express. And and I also am encouraged that about meeting with the community. John, that's why this is Bureaucracy Now, is John started out with the coffee shops, but then COVID hit pretty quickly and we had to move this into a virtual environment. But meeting with the community and letting people see who you are and see you around town, I think that's going to be important.
Yeah, I can I just chime in too? Because it's appropriate to recognize the transition and how elegant it has been with interim chief server. You know, Troy's been just a rock star at preparing, and the team at large at preparing for Chief Olson's arrival. And, you know, I can imagine that in some communities, it's a little bit of a, you know, there could be some swagger involved and like fingerprints and, you know, hey, this is mine now, you know, none of that. And I just, I really love how these guys work together, because it's like, number one in their minds is what's the best thing for the team and the community. It's not about putting your mark on things. I mean, Tom's a great listener. He's super reflective. He takes feedback on board incredibly. I mean, and Troy, very similar. You know, he's the kind of person you have a frank conversation with and disagree about something and work it out. So I'm really thrilled how that transition actually makes a lot of difference for the community.
Yeah.
And I'll just add, I mean, between my 33 years of law enforcement and my 25 years of military, I've transitioned into a number of positions, and very, very seldom do you get the opportunity to cross over and work with the person you're replacing. So it really is invaluable. And again, Troy is just going above and beyond to get me everything he possibly can. And he knows it. I don't know if he's listening or not.
I was just going to say, I hope he's listening.
He's going to be getting calls from me probably for well after he retires. And I know where he lives too. So.
Okay, well that is actually, that's encouraging that the team is welcoming you in that way, and that you guys are that there seems to be a smooth transition. And and John, I very much appreciate that you have gotten to know Tom well enough to understand, you know, how he works with others, and so I think that's above and beyond sort of just the normal interview process.
It's a big investment for the community. And I feel like, you know, recruitment's one of those opportunities we have to really make a big impact. And I'm completely committed to building a rock star team. I mean, I luckily inherited one.
Yeah.
You know, some really great people I get to work with every single day. But every retirement is an opportunity to kind of continue that growth. And I feel like, you know, Chief Olson is a step that direction. And you know, just like we were mentioning Steve King, you know, I mean, that was a really pivotal hire with our biggest department. And, you know, the way Steve's worked in this community during a pandemic, I think has shown that, you know, he's we're lucky to have him. Yeah. So I think every one of our staff is a real investment in our future.
Yeah. Don't you have a park supervisor to hire also?
Yeah.
Is that no, that's kind of next question on the list?
Yeah. You know, that came up at council, because one of the things we did and you know, I'll try to keep it brief because I bet you're trying to close up here. But we realized that in a way, I mean, Alex, we miss Alex because he was just fantastic. And you know, he shepherded the pros plan, the golf course decision, a bunch of things before I got here that were really pivotal. But in a way, he had the clout of a department director with very few resources to deliver. So he was really down into the operations in a way where he didn't have time to do as much of that visionary work that he probably needed. And so in the interim, we've decided, you know, Steve King's taken over some of those parks facilities and, you know, the pool in the interim. But we found great synergies between the public works team and the former parks team.
Wow.
And right now is a great time to kind of build the foundation and say, hey, if the streets and parks teams and facilities teams are finding these great synergies, instead of puffing up and saying, you know, parks matter, so we're going to hire a director, let's get the base working and find the efficiencies. And then I think there's another phase where we think about strategic leadership in parks.
Okay. You're right. I am. We got about 4 minutes left. I was going to talk about the ferry, but it's off. Apparently, it's delayed for another 3 weeks, right? And I guess this isn't a Chief Olson question, so you're just going to go along for the ride on this. But what do you think the impact of that is on the city? Or what?
You know, I mean, I'm disappointed, but I feel kind of sheepish too, also, you know, pointing too many fingers, because, you know, I know expectations on what the city needs to deliver during the pandemic have not always been met. And so we've really stretched ourselves, and it's just been really hard from a staffing point of view, and, you know, new challenges and, you know, adapting to new policies and all that. I think State Ferries is probably in the same boat, and I understand their stress to be around vessels, but also around staffing, quarantine, vaccination schedules, that kind of thing. I do have some compassion for that situation, but the fact of the matter is it really will impact our town. Yeah. We really rely heavily for the services we all depend on those folks who love PT, but just happen not to live here. And so, that's one big thing that was quantified recently. We worked with the port and the county on this, but the port really took the lead on analysis of what is the impact of the ferries to our region. And it's not just tourism either. You know, there's commuters too who use the ferry system. And so from an employer perspective, there's disruption. And this is kind of going into recovery. This is going into summer when we can kind of get things back. And it's going to delay that recovery a bit. So it's going to have a meaningful impact on businesses, on small businesses, and even on city revenue in the interim.
Okay, I have just been given the hook. I misunderstood the ending time. And so I'm just going to say, John Morrow, thank you for joining us. Chief Thomas Olson, welcome to Port Townsend, and thanks for being on Bureaucracy Now. John, you'll be back next week. I think Tim is back next week. And thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
Always a pleasure, Taylor.
Okay. Thank you, Taylor.
Okay, Vinyl Dialogues with Dick Keenan is up next as soon as he can sit down here and clean the microphone. This is Taylor Clark for Bureaucracy Now. Thanks for joining us.